Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me this week is William Miller.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
I'm doing pretty good. We're back from a long break.
That's right. That's right. We haven't had a show in quite a while. A lot has happened since then.
That's right. A lot of sexy things. We've also got Justin Ficarotta of Kill Monty fame.
I'm ready for podcast.
Now, Justin Fick, you sound quite a lot different than you did before. Why is that?
Well, actually, I have to tell you that my no, actually, I have discarded Jank set, and I'm now rocking Hella Mic and Hella Mixer, much like the other boys in the podcast.
Just be sure not to throw that one across the room when Blake Buck plays
the cake song.
The cake song. That
was all right. It. And this is your gaming news for Wednesday, January 10th, 2006. All right, this week in the news, the Stamper Brothers leave Rare, Christian-themed Tribulation Knights anointed for PCs, Crackdown to include Halo 3 beta keys, new Halo 3 beta entry paths revealed, Capcom goes to Hollywood, Greg Cavison, is that how you say that guy's name? Cassavin Cavison? I don't know. He bids farewell to GameSpot, Madden Game reveals a porn surprise, Burning Crusade Collector's Edition fetting big dollars on eBay. And GameStop touts $1.7 billion in holiday sales. Analysts don't predict Bully 2. Germany cracks down on Crackdown. The first Oblivion expansion revealed, and boy killed unplugging his Game Boy. All of this and more on this week's best damn podcast ever.
All right, so the Stamper Brothers leave Rare. The co-founders of Microsoft Development House part ways with the studio after more than 20 years. So Chris and Tim Stamper co-founded Rare with company president Joel Hochberg. Is that how you say that? The pair stuck with the company from its days developing Nintendo Entertainment System games like RC Pro AM and Wizards and Warriors. Yes, Might and Magic. And eventually made GoldenEye. Enough said. So these guys, and more recently, Viva Piñata. Have you played that game yet, Blake Buck?
Buck has played Viva Piñata, all right? And let me tell you, that is a manly Pinata? Game. Well, see, I started off playing Viva Piñata. I got it for Christmas. Blake Buck got Viva Piñata for Christmas and Guitar Hero 2, so he was happy. Nice. Anyway, so Viva Piñata, you like grow little like animal creatures kind of in your garden. Like if you plant certain kind of plants and stuff, it'll attract certain kinds of piñatas to your garden. And then like based on what kind of piñatas you have in your garden, you can attract different kinds of other piñatas. And you try to like you know, grow lots of stuff and have lots of cool piñatas and like make them like romance and mate and stuff. And when I started off the game, I really, really hated it. It was really, really bad. Because, like, they throw everything at you all at once. Like, I was trying to grow, like, 30 different piñatas at once.
30 hundred?
Yeah, 30. Look, son. It's the first show of the year. You better cut me some slack, all right? I just had Taco Bell, and I'm not feeling too good. So,
you better watch out for that spinach.
But once I went on and made my own piñata garden and didn't was out of the tutorial, so to say, the game got a lot better. So it's a pretty fun game.
So here's the
not
question.
Awesome.
Here's the question.
Doesn't totally redeem Perfect Dark Zero, but it's not bad.
Can you make them fight?
Dude, if there's a game in which you cannot make the creatures fight, I do not play it. Right?
I want to know if you can beat the piñatas and make candy fly out.
Yeah, you can beat them with a shovel. That's what you would do all day, Justin. Just beat everything with shovels.
When I got Animal Crossing, I the only reason I built up my town is so I could completely destroy it.
Nice. So anyway, these guys are leaving Microsoft, I guess, with on good terms with their old company to seek new opportunities.
Now let me ask you guys this. Rare, what happened? Well, what a good game's at. I mean, what's going on here, guys? They haven't really made a breakout hit in, you know, really about 10 years almost, it seems like.
Man, every year I go home, every year William Miller goes home, William Miller plays GoldenEye, all right? And he remembers how damn good he is at that game. Like, I will take anybody.
William Miller good at a video game?
You are not good at
it. I know,
imagine
that. But yeah, I don't know what happened to Rare. Perfect Dark Zero, looking at you.
Dude, that game, Perfect Dark Zero, is, like, by far the biggest disappointment ever. Like, I took my game, and I was like, oh, my God, I wasted $30 unhate myself. That's what that game makes you do. You just play it and you hate yourself.
Rare's next project is a new installment of its 3D platformer franchise, Banjo-Kazooie, which had its original game on Nintendo 64. That game was all right. It was no Mario 64, but it was okay.
It was good, but I think Rare can do it again? Can they put... I mean, really, have they had a game that you were just like, that is amazingly awesome in the past, like, 5 or 6 years? No. Come on, Rare.
I remember seeing Donkey Kong for the first time, and I was like, that's 3D. And it was over. Like, that and Killer Instinct 3D.
Yeah. 3D in my video screen. Dude, like, here's what happened to Rare. Like, they had a bunch of cool employees, right? And they're like the guys who made, like, the original Perfect Dark and GoldenEye. And then they went off and made their own company. And then, like, all the talent left Rare. And that, like 2 or 3 years, you know, when they were like, oh, we're getting bought by Microsoft and we don't really know what we're doing. And now everybody who knows what the hell they're doing is gone.
Yo, my theory is they start putting the word zero in their games. My theory is that the word zero in any game suck. I'm serious. Take Perfect Dark Zero. Like, okay, think about Perfect Dark. Now think about Perfect Dark Zero. Think about Bomberman. All right? Now think about Bomberman Act Zero. The word zero ruins every single game it's in.
That's true. All right, so now we've got Christian-themed Tribulation Knights Anointed. Ooh, very clever, for PCs. So this is a stealth-based third-person action game preaching Christian values. It's been announced with a violence-free title set in the days after the rapture. So, William Miller, could this be a follow-up to our favorite game of the year, Left Behind?
Left Behind. I think this is more like Stealth Christ. This game.
Sneak Christ.
Sneak Christ.
Sneak Jesus.
So the only weapon that you actually have in this game is a slingshot, which you can use to disable cameras and other security devices. I think the story behind this game is it's after the rapture, all right? And the Tribulation Knights have been assembled by the church to protect Christians from this worldwide cultist organization.
Damn.
Yes. And I think that's it. It says it's touting that it has the largest environments ever seen in the Christian gaming world. It also
First of all, even if it just said that without Christian gaming world, that would be the stupidest claim ever. We have the largest environments of any game ever. But when you add Christian game to it, it's a whole other layer of stupidity.
It also features an electronic Bible text reference. Freeform gameplay, and get this.
And flying vehicles.
Okay. That's
right. Oh, man. I want a car of the Lord. Pope Mobile, maybe even. So, it's not yet been announced a release date, but, you know, it's probably going to be sucking away our podcast airtime in the coming months.
Let's hope this one doesn't get rejected by its own community.
I hope they have the DeLorean, only with Jesus in it.
What? Joseph, take this heat go. What is Crackdown?
All right, Crackdown to include Halo 3 beta keys. So, an advertiser for the upcoming SuperCop game claims that some copies will include admission to Halo 3's beta program. So,
I'm excited about Crackdown. It's like imagine they took Grand Theft Auto. Yeah, it's like they took Grand Theft Auto and they're like, all right, let's just add like 6 or 7 layers of ridiculousness on top of this, and now you've got this game.
Well, these are the guys that saw Grand Theft Auto and they're like, dude. The only people that play Grand Theft Auto just pump in cheat codes all day. No one plays Grand Theft Auto without cheat codes. So that's going to be the game. So you're going to get Grand Theft Auto with tanks and guns and rocket launchers, just as many as you can carry. That's Crackdown.
Awesome. So here's my opinion on this. I think, well, it's not really an opinion. It's more of an observation. I would really hate to be the guys that developed Crackdown. Because, like, like, you know that half the people that bought Crackdown are just buying it so they can play Halo 3. You know what I mean?
But, well, to give Crackdown some the spotlight it deserves, it's actually a very – it's really looking to carry Microsoft through the spring – I want to say semester. What's the spring quarter of
the
first – You
mean the Halo drought?
Pretty much. Well, they got some good games coming out in the summer and a lot – you know, of course, Halo 3 in the fall. But in the spring, they're really trying to – you know, crack down with Crackdown. So if you don't get in the Halo 3 beta the normal way, you can, which is, I guess, what was it? How did you get in the Halo 3 beta?
Minute window.
Oh, that's right. Oh. So, yeah, check out Crackdown. Maybe get you a little key, but make sure it's in specially marked packages. Not all of them have it. So, just like your cereal with the glow-in-the-dark, you know, Mario Kart or whatever, you've got to find specially marked boxes of Crackdown. You know, Crackdown even sounds like a cereal, now that I think about it.
So, if you don't get the...
Crackdown Crunch.
If you don't get the... If you don't get the beta privileges with Crackdown, there are two other ways that you can get the beta. You can either buy this Crackdown heat, or oh my god, okay,
dude, rule.
Hang on, they just came back from the
Tom
gun.
Tom Barbalay, leave it, leave it. Don't cut it, Tom Barbalay.
They just came back from the game for the gun show. I got to answer this. Did you get me guns? Did you get me a gun?
Fail.
Dude, he won't even talk. Dude, I'm done with this.
He was like, "Ooh, ooh, guns." He didn't even say anything.
Dude, I missed the gun show to do this ridiculous podcast. Y'all better be happy.
Oh, I'm happy, dude. How can I get in the Halo 3 beta? I don't even know. I'm on the edge of my seat over here.
So I told him to get me two guns, one for each hand. That's what I wanted. So anyway, they have this other thing called the Rule of Three, and what this is between February 1st and 3rd, gamers in the U.S. who play 3 hours of Halo 2 over Xbox Live will qualify. So the first 13,333 gamers who have qualified can enter the beta program. That's the Rule of Three, right? Mm. And then there's
William Miller's good at that. So essentially, there are three ways to get into the Halo 3 beta program if you're really into this. Number one, you could have signed up like a month ago, like Blake Buck. Yeah, I told all you, what's wrong with you? All right, but you clearly missed that because you're a loser. All right, so next, let's say you want to get Crackdown. Hey, you might get a specially marked box of, you know, Crackdown Crunch.
Send
and you get
three
the key
coupons,
in there.
Proofs of Send purchase.
And get the slap bracelet. And finally, there's this method where between February 1st and 3rd, if you play Halo 2 online with your Xbox for 3 hours, the first 13,333 people to do that are going to get in the beta.
All right. Well,
so you got a lot of options,
Miller,
here.
William Miller, you and me, since Blake Buck is already in, William Miller, you and me.
I don't know if I'm
31st.
In because they have to send you an email that like verifies. Even if you, I don't think everybody who signed up back in
Dude,
like December.
I don't have
in
an
yet.
Xbox, baby. Where am I going to get an Xbox?
You get an Xbox on January 30th, January 31st, at 11:59 p.m., you and I play 3 hours and 1 minute of Halo Online. But what we do is we just set it to no time limit, just turn it on and leave it, so you don't got to play any games.
That's actually a pretty good idea. But I come in contact with. I bricked Bruce Morrison's Xbox because I'm so bad at Gears of War. You know that three light brick? Yeah, that one.
The three red lights? Ooh, ooh, that's bad.
Ooh. Oh, God, he was so unhappy about that.
Justin Fick, take this Capcom power.
All right, so Capcom goes Hollywood. The publisher is considering a more movie-based games as a way to bring in broader audiences and offset escalating game costs.
Half of me thinks that's a good idea. Half of me wants to vomit. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I think it makes a lot of sense to the guys in suits up at the big Capcom headquarters to do this, and I don't think developers are going to be particularly pleased with it at Capcom, but, I mean, you know, games cost between $10 and $12 million to make, and if you want to make the good, you know, first
party...
Well,
PS3, it's
$50. Right, and your firstborn child. So, I mean, I don't know. It depends. I don't know.
So the publisher will be expanding its presence into Los Angeles and also consider bringing on over its staff from Japanese headquarters in order to better secure movie licenses for games. Its senior vice president of licensing, Jermaine Giola, told The Hollywood Reporter. By the way, why are we getting game news from The Hollywood Reporter? Come on!
So, Blake Buck, if you could make any game or any movie into a game, what would it be?
Dude, it'd be Evil Dead. It's
Dude,
really
already,
easy, baby.
That's already a game. Been done.
That's true, but it hadn't been done like it's supposed to. Okay,
hadn't been done right.
Hadn't been done right. There hadn't been like zombie car. Okay,
Buck, you need to go to Hollywood and apply for Capcom to be voice actor for lead male voice actor on Resident Evil 5.
So have you heard about Bruce Campbell's new movie? This is kind of tangential. It's called My Name is Bruce. Have you heard about this?
No.
This is funny. So Bruce Campbell plays himself, right? This is from what I understand. And he goes into this town that has a zombie infestation, taking a vacation or something, doesn't know what he's getting into. So the town sees Bruce Campbell, and they think he's Ash. So they make him fight zombies.
But see, Bruce Campbell movies either go either way, awesome or really, really
good. He hasn't
one
made
of the
a good
two.
One in a long time. Anyway, that's off subject.
So essentially, this guy, this Giola guy, who is their new Giola, I'm just butchering this, he used to work for THQ, and as you know, THQ is really good about licensing movies to games. Also, THQ make games as well. So that's always been one of the problems we've had. So maybe now we can get movies based on game or games based on movies that don't.
Well, maybe. We'll see.
All right, so Craig Cavison over at GameSpot bids a farewell. So GameSpot's editor-in-chief will be working elsewhere in the industry and pursuing a quote-unquote once-in-a-lifetime opportunity as a game developer. So Greg Cavison is that beautifully bald man over at GameSpot, his head like a beacon of hope for the gaming industry. And he's a veteran member. I think he might have even founded. I don't know. I think he's definitely been editor-in-chief there for a while.
For like 10
Not
years,
sure if
yeah.
he's... Yeah, he's been working there a long time. He's always had really good reviews. A lot of those other clowns over there, you know, they don't like Ryan Davis. What are you doing, Jeff Gersman? Go eat some cookies. All right, give me Greg Cavison to review my games.
So he said he announced this in a post on his personal blog, saying that my friends and family and close colleagues have known that making games has always been my goal. And that this opportunity is a franchise he's always wanted to work on, and he's just now breaking into the industry, so to speak. Now, here's what I don't understand.
So you know what that means?
Why did it take you 10 years to break into the gaming industry?
It's a hard industry to break into, baby.
I mean...
Look, all right. Only 6 people in the world work on video games a year, okay? And he has been elected to join the alumnus of video game creators.
Let's think about who they let into the industry. Justin Fick? William Miller? Blake Buck? I mean, anyway.
Who is that dude? Romero? Cliffy B?
John Romero.
Two buddies? So, all right. Good luck, Mr. Cavison. I enjoyed your reviews. You did excellent work with GameSpot.com. If you'd like to hire Best Damn Podcast Ever to produce your content for you, feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
We posted on this on the front page already, but a teen in Utah... But basically busted open Madden, put in his Xbox, and got hardcore XXX action instead of hardcore gridiron action. So Colton Mahoney.
Oh, no.
Oh, God forbid. The pixels of moral degradation. Colton Mahoney, a 14-year-old boy from Layton, Utah, well, there's your problem right there, was delighted to receive a copy of Madden NFL 07 as one of his presents on Christmas Day from his uncle. See, I love how all these like sex scandal news sites are worded like this boy was like this innocent angel and his wings were ripped off by Madden NFL 07.
I want to read you guys this line. This is my favorite. His parents, upon seeing the smut, contacted the Internet Crimes Against Children's Task Force, which is looking into the matter. Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. If my son or daughter were to get boobies on their Madden disc, right, I wouldn't think to myself, oh, God, go get the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force.
Give me that.
I'm going to have to check this out, make sure it's okay.
So, I mean, we were speculating about this on the forum. It wasn't as if it was just like his daddy forgot to swap out the discs when he was, you know, looking at his porno. It was like an actual NFL disc, you know, labeled and all of that, shrink-wrapped and all that stuff with porno on it. So,
you know what I bet it is? I bet it's some blogger, right? And he, like, created this disc and shrink-wrapped it up and made it look real. And then, like, he knew the kid that bought it. Now he's putting it on his blog to get lots of publicity. This just, I don't know. It just reeks of a publicity stunt. Like, we were printing the game, and then somehow came out when 10 billion other copies came out right. What? No.
Dude, Blake Buck, you know what this reeks of? This reeks of
what's
best
that?
Damn podcast ever marketing idea.
Oh man,
dude, why aren't we doing this to ourselves?
Guys, you won't believe what I saw. So I was playing Viva Pinata the other day, and then there was like this naked woman pinata, and I was like having to have sex with her and stuff. And I was like, oh, I don't like this. Go get me the Internet Crimes Against Children or Babies or whatever the f*** it's called.
You know, I think we should make a BDPE, like, man service calendar. That's what we need to do. Like, the whole crew, and maybe even some of the forum goons. In Battle compromising Cat? Positions.
You know, you know what this reminds me of? So I was watching America's Most Wanted last night. Do you guys remember there was some guy in the news about a year ago who, you know, like he had a bomb strapped to his neck and he had to like rob a bank and there was all these bizarre clues and eventually he just blew up or something, right?
Oh,
and
there was like a, I remember that, yeah.
So they had the video of this and they're all like, oh, well, there must have been a killer. And they're all talking about all these advanced theories. And I'm like, look, baby, he did it to himself. It was a big publicity stunt. I got this on lockdown. CSI, you can hire me for next season. Same thing.
CSI Mississippi, go.
We're going to do this heat.
All right, Burning Crusade Collector's Edition is getting a lot of bucks on eBay. So this makes a lot of sense to me. Burning Crusade Collector's Edition, probably Burning, or, you know, World of Warcraft, probably more, one of the more popular games out there. Has a
particularly
limited,
on the Mac.
Yeah, particularly on the Mac, has a limited edition collector's thing coming out. You get two trading cards. You get a pet. You get a soundtrack, behind-the-scenes DVD.
That's a pet in the game, not a real pet, just make you do not get a Zergling to take home with you. So it came out for $70, and now it's fetching over $300 on eBay. So if you're one of those guys and you're like, hey, maybe I want to get out of World of Warcraft, but I still got my pre-order on the Collector's Edition, maybe you should think about eBay.
So is Ben Buck going to get this, Blake Buck?
Oh, I know he's going to. He's going to be like, oh, I'm not going to play this game. And then I'm going to come home, you know, 2 months from now, and he's going to be like glued to the chair, you know, getting food from a tube out of his mouth. I see it happening. So, speaking of making lots of money, GameStop touts $1.7 billion in holiday sales. So, the retailer reports that a 29% growth in its final weeks of the year and says that market conditions played to its strengths. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, press release? GameStop press release guy? The market played to your strengths? Okay. All right.
So, the most popular games this year were Gears of War, Final Fantasy XII, Legend of Zelda, Twilight Princess, Guitar Hero 2, and WWE SmackDown versus
Raw. I'm amazed
Raw,
how popular Guitar Hero 2 is. Like, it still blows my mind. Like, it's up there with, you know, Gears of War and Final Fantasy XII. I mean, they have got a franchise that's going to go on for the next at least 5 years.
People are here to rock. That's just...
So, if you work in GameStop, you're getting minimum wage, but your company is making lots of money. So,
all right, feel proud.
Right.
Okay, so we have a story, a GameStop story. You remember this, Blake Buck? So Blake Buck makes the mistake of putting William Miller in front of his Xbox without supervision. And,
oh, man, I forgot about this story.
And William Miller starts playing Burnout for Xbox. And William Miller likes Burnout a whole lot. Now, Blake Buck's only got the demo. So I guess, what time was it? It was about 10 o'clock. And so I turn to Blake Buck and I say, Blake Buck, we've got to buy Burnout right now. But, I have a lot of money but don't want to spend it. So I look at Blake Buck and say, you've got to buy this game for me. All right. So right. Blake Buck doesn't have any money. So Blake Buck has this little piggy bank, right? And it's one of those clear kind where you put the coins in there and it counts it for you. So we take his piggy bank over to GameStop.
I remember having one of those in first grade.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, dude, it's awesome.
So it's chock full, and the counter estimates about $40 in there, which is probably enough to buy the game. So we go to GameStop, we plunk this thing down on the counter, look the dude in the eye, and Blake Buck says, turn this into Burnout. and so the guy says, well, I don't have to take that, you know. Oh, but we came prepared, you see. So so we break that out on the counter. And count all of those coins and roll them right in front of his face. So the story doesn't end there. Blake Buck has this thing with his games. He's got to have them shrink wrapped. They've got to be perfect.
Oh God!
So this guy goes and grabs the shelf copy of the game and hands it to Blake Buck.
Now, Blake Buck does not like the shelf copy. When you get the last copy at GameStop, it's always like it's the one they take out of the box, put it in a sleeve, stick it in a drawer, and then you get the box that every idiot
every
has come in and rubbed their
putting his grubby fingers in the box. There you go.
Exactly. You don't want that.
There you go.
And you don't want the disc that's been in the sleeve and all that. And so I was like, oh, don't you have a new one? Can I get a new copy of the game? You know I hate getting the last copy.
All right. So he takes the game in the back, right? Same one that he handed Blake Buck and Blake Buck refused. Takes that in the back and shrink wraps it. Right? And he brings it up to the front, which Blake Buck promptly tears the shrink wrap off and looks at the game to make sure it's okay. And after that, we leave. The whole thing probably took about an hour.
It was it. But we had burnout. We turned that
but
bank
we had burnout,
into burnout.
we turned piggy bank into burnout successfully. Oh, man. Oh. All right, analyst. Don't expect
uh-oh.
Bully 2.
Oh,
this,
no.
Articles like this drive me crazy. Why, Blake Buck, why do you put articles like this in our news? Of course they're not going to make a sequel anytime soon. The game sold like...
Well, they hadn't released the numbers, though.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, how do these people make money, analysts? How do analysts make money? Like, we could be analysts. I could have told somebody that.
What? An original intellectual property doesn't sell as well as Star Wars? Maybe it should have been Star Wars, Bully.
I'm done with this.
So, yeah.
Michael Patcher.
Michael Patcher predicts that because of poor sales of Bully, even though it was critically acclaimed, didn't have a lot of commercial success, so he would not, and I quote, I would not expect to see a sequel to Bully.
I just don't get it. I don't get it.
So if you're looking forward to Bully 2, it might be a while. Just Vic Tech is power.
All right. So Germany cracks down on Crackdown.
How many of these puns are we going to have by the time this game comes out?
Dude. They used all their juice writing the headlines to these news stories and not on the descriptions on their releases. Like, they used all their codes
well,
on this.
All right. So here's the thing about Germany. Germany doesn't have the ESRB like we do. Right? They have this thing called, I'm going to see if I can do this, Unterhaltungssoft Selbstkontrolle.
Ubuntu.
All right. Ubuntu. They have this organization called the USK. All right, and they rate all games that are imported and all games that are created in Germany. Now, the major sticking point in most games is on the German side is that you can't hurt animals or people. So
what?
You can't hurt animals or people. So usually what they hang on now. Usually what they do is they just turn the blood green and change the story on the box or something like that, so that you're hurting aliens or something.
Something. William Miller, you should work for him. All right, guys, look, we got to, like, turn a green or something. All right? I'm an expert. I'm a German localization expert.
But see, that's like why... I mean, a lot of games have this problem coming over to Germany, so I'm really not surprised about Crackdown or any other thing that hasn't gotten past the SK or USK, Unterhaltungssoftware Selbstkontroll. Dude, I got that power. Lockdown, baby!
So apparently, neither Gears of War or Dead Rising received ratings either. So, dude, if you're living in Germany, gaming industry blows, baby. You gotta get out of the... come over to America where it's a party out of time!
Oh, my God. All right, so you can still get this game now.
Coltrane overload.
You can still get this game. You can. What you have to do, though, is you can't sell it in stores. You have to buy it in person with cash. And you can't sell it to minors, so it's just harder to get. It's not like they're not there.
Oh, well, that's not so bad, I guess.
It's not so bad. But Microsoft respects the decision of the German ratings board not to provide the title with a rating, and Microsoft will continue to follow its policy of not publishing unrated titles. So they said that it will have very limited circulation in Germany. For your reference, this game, Crackdown, got an M for Mature by the ESRB in America for blood and gore, intense violence, sexual themes, strong language, and use of drugs.
The whole gambit. Dude. I love it. All right, so Oblivion is getting an expansion, guys. I hope you're
that?
Ready
what
for this.
What was that, Blake Buck? What was that?
Oh, excuse Oblivion? Me. Oblivion. So Shivering Isles is the name of the expansion pack, and it's due out in spring of 2007. It's going to add new lands, quests, foes, and 30 hours of gameplay. So this is first expansion, blah, blah, blah. It'll be, I guess this is not going to be sold as downloadable content like the other games. It's going to be a boxed in-store, you know, expansion pack. So I don't know how that's quite going to work on the Xbox, but I'm sure we'll be able to figure it out.
See, Blake Buck, answer me this. At what point did games start having, like, hours associated with them? Like, I remember Nintendo games, a gajillion hours. Nobody even bothered to count how many hours it took to play this game. Mario, bajillion hours. Final Fantasy, bajillion hours. And now, you know, everybody knows that you could probably beat the game within 30 hours. What's the deal with that, Blake Buck?
Well, look, I mean, it's the gaming industry. It's grown up, William Miller. You know, when we were kids, William Miller, we used to be able to play games for 100,000 hours because we were dumb and had no money. Now we're smart, and we do have money, and we expect to get what we pay for. So we want to know how many hours of gameplay we're getting out of our games. But Shivering Isles is going to be, you know, you can get through some magic door, something in Nibbin Bay, if you're familiar with that, in Oblivion. And it's going to have, this is so dumb. I like Oblivion, but I feel dumb reading this. The Isles, which are also known as the Realm of Madness, will be divided into the northern area, Mania, and the southern area, Dementia. A town called Split on the Mania-Dementia border has two of every citizen, and one of the quests will be to solve this doppelganger mystery. Like, I'll try and tell my girlfriend about Oblivion. I'm like, look, if you take a paintbrush, it doesn't have any physics on it. So you can, like, take a paintbrush and, like, put it on the ground and make little stairs out of the paintbrushes. And I can, like, climb up mountains with paintbrushes. And he's like, I don't like you anymore. So don't talk to Oblivion about your girlfriend.
I bet you love that. She loves Pinata game.
Dude, she's playing Pinata game right now. All right, I'm going to be honest. That keeps her quiet. All right, so what is this heat right here?
All right, so a boy apparently was killed by unplugging his Game Boy.
Oh, wait, maybe a Game Boy was killed by his Game Boy. Oh.
So a 7-year-old on holiday in Thailand is electrocuted trying to unplug his handheld while the battery was charging. Now, see, here's what I heard. This article...
All right, give us an inside tip, William Miller.
This article doesn't have the whole story, so... In my mind, this is how it went down. Are you ready? So they're in Thailand, right? And boy is he's fresh out the pool. He's so excited. He's fresh out the pool. He wants to play his Game Boy. So he runs over there and he tries to unplug it and gets electrocuted because he's dripping wet.
puts on the alligator clamps.
Yeah.
No, insisted he would not have him plugged in the handheld while still wet. That's what the mother said.
That's what mom said. But Game Boy. Look, baby, Game Boy.
So apparently, what I think the problem was that they're in Thailand, and of course, Thailand doesn't, Europe, they're from London. Europe has their own, and England and France particularly have their own electrical standards that are different from everybody else's. They got like an extra safety fuse as well as the prongs are sort of different shaped. And in Thailand, I think they have more American-looking plugs with just the two prongs and no ground plug. And so, in my head, he has like three plugs, and he's trying to ram them into two plugs, and it's not working.
This is a tragedy, but...
Of course, tragedy.
You know, but every mom that sees this headline is going to yank that Game Boy out of Jimmy's hands. You know it. I mean...
And so Nintendo, and I was proud of Nintendo because they didn't wuss out on their statement. Nintendo wishes to offer sincere condolences to the family of Connor O'Keefe. Details of the accident are unclear, so we are unable to make any further comment at this stage. Blam! No money
meantime,
for you.
Please
that's what they said.
Free Game Boy.
I'm done with this power.
Definitely, I'd want Final Fantasy out of that whole deal.
I'm done with this power. It's time for releases.
All right, so in releases this month, we've got Extreme Condition for Xbox 360 on January 12th.
Lost Planet Extreme Condition.
In Lost Planet, you control both your human player and a mech unit in a fight against alien bugs on a cold, desolate planet.
So this is Capcom's big third-person shooter. They've been really hyping for a while. It got a lot of press back in the fall, and it's coming out finally this January. I guess they missed the holiday window. But it's going to be good, baby. It's got lots of online. People are calling it kind of like the Crackdown / Halo 3, you know, holdover game.
And Hearts of Empire, or Heart of Empire Rome for PC, release date January 9th, 2007. Heart of Empire Rome is a strategy game developed by Deep Red. Arthur and the Invisibles, PC, PS2, DS, GBA, released January 9th, 2007. Have you guys seen trailers for this
No.
This show? This movie that's coming out? It's by the same guy that did, I think it's by the same guy that did the art for Dark Crystal. So it's got this really cool, like, art style or whatever. It's live action mixed with, you know, CG stuff.
I've never seen Dark Crystal, but I know it's girly. So that means William Miller likes it.
Oh, I like it. So the game Arthur and the Invisibles is based on the film the same name. Yeah, all right, go. Next one.
All right, Bliss Island for the PlayStation Portable, released January 7, 2007. A free web game is getting an update to your and coming to your PSP. Oh, boy. There's nothing like web games. We've also got Backyard Basketball 2007 for the PC. Not your typical game of basketball. Backyard Basketball 2007 returns with more big-headed basketball players and special moves.
Look, can that I unlock the like Beastie Boys? All right. Like in,
all right,
like
Justin,
an NBA Jam.
Take these last two.
Dude, you got to unlock Bill Clinton. Like NBA Jam.
Dude, the Beastie Boys,
the only
baby.
Way to play NBA Jam was Bill Clinton. Right. Pulling up there, we have Puzzlescape for PlayStation Portable on January 9th. Puzzlescape is an action block busting puzzle game for the PSP, featuring 3D visuals and gameplay that revolves around arranged blocks of different colors and to change. This grammar is theirs, not ours. That are exploded by 2x2 same colored blocks. So, in other words, luminous ripoff. Also, we have
Jewel Swap.
There's Jewel Swap and there's Brick Stack. Those are the two casual game mechanics.
Have you ever thought about how much money Jewel Swap and Brick Stack make? Like, Tuncer Dennis buys plasma TVs with Jewel Swap and Brick Stack.
Dude, Tuncer Dennis.
Right, what's his last game here?
Duck just opens up his vault, but instead of coins, it's plasma TVs that he jumps into. All right, so we have Lucinda Green's Equestrian Challenge for the PC on January 8th. Lucinda Green's Equestrian Challenge gallops onto the PC.
Nobody knows anything about this game.
Dude, but it sounds gay. Means horse.
All right. All right, so not a lot of releases this week, guys. It's January. Other than Lost Planet, which is going to be a big release, it really gets pretty quiet in January. Starting to see, you know, in February a little more. So we're kind of in a little slow point, but it'll pick back up. All right,
dude,
so now it's time for the judge.
For Christmas, and now they're just all sleeping it out.
Exactly. All right, now it's time for the judgment. All right, Justin Fick, what's our judgment for this week?
Well, the judgment for this week is Blake Buck and William Miller stopped by New York in December. And we got to play Major Wii in New York,
Major
City
Wii
with
action.
Mr. Steve Zay. So today's judgment, or yeah. This week's judgment is Wii Sports plus Steve Zay equals the hotness.
So here's how it all went down. So William Miller has witnessed this before, but never quite to this intensity. And I think it has something to do with Wii Sports. So Blake Buck, Justin Fick, and William Miller go over to Steve Zay's apartment, which is really nice, by the way. Bruce Morrison was there.
Wow.
Now, Steve has had a little injury. He had surgery on his leg or something. I don't know. He's a cripple. So, cripple Steve Zay is in his house. And, you know, we come in there and he says, well, I'll put on Wii. Y'all can play. I've never played Wii before, so it's kind of cool. Now, within 10 minutes, there were 10 hot Asian chicks in his house. That's one Asian chick per minute. All right. Had his house been bigger, it would have probably exceeded that, right? And so as soon as from the time it took for us to start the game to when maximum capacity of apartment was exceeded was about 10 minutes. So the judgment is Wii Sports attracts hot chicks, Asian ones.
That's right. Asian ones in particular. So Wii Sports, how many different games does Wii Sports have? I think it's got five. So it's got the five. Tennis, which everybody loves. Right. Let's talk about tennis for a minute. You swat your tennis thing, your racket. I guess that's what it's called in the industry. And, you know, your guy kind of runs around on his own. So it's just like timing your SWAT to affect the angle. So it's not too complicated. A lot of fun. Asian women can play it. You know, it's pretty simple. Lots of fun. All right. Then we had what's another one? There's bowling. That's probably the second most popular Wii Sport game. It's where you take the Wiimote up in your hand and then kind of roll it back like you're throwing a bowling ball and release the button. And you can, depending on like how you twist your wrist, it'll like kind of curve in. All right, so we got bowling. You roll the ball. Pretty simple. Wayne Miller sucked at it, and I laughed at him, and he cried.
Dude, I bowled 300. It was over with.
And let's see. What
wait,
else?
Wait. Now, the best feature of bowling is that when it's your turn, your remote dings. It makes a little noise. So when you're drunk, you can tell when you have to go. Yeah, when you're drinking burr.
Let me tell you, Justin Fick with Wii Sports, when Justin Fick found Wii, he actually, the first thing he did was made Big Lebowski Mies for Wii Bowling.
Nice.
So they've also got, those are the two most popular games. The other ones are golf, kind of lame. The mechanics are kind of so-so. It's not nearly as tight as the other games, but I guess if you like golf, it's some fun. But we didn't play that one much. What else did we play? There's tennis, golf. There's also baseball. Baseball's kind of lame. You know, it's again, the mechanics don't really feel as tight as like tennis and the bowling, but I guess I could see yourself having some fun there, so not bad.
Well, the good thing about baseball is if you go into the practice modes, there's Home Run Derby.
Oh, yeah, I played that one.
And Home Run Derby is good. Like, that I could play all day.
What is that? What are you doing that one?
You hit home runs.
Oh, all right. Well,
basically, like baseball, it gives you three innings, you know, three outs, and it's just basically a quick little miniature game of baseball. Home Run Derby throws you 10 pitches, and then your score is how many feet the sum of the balls you hit are. So that's heat.
Hmm. All right,
continue.
And finally, they have boxing. But the main problem with boxing is that whoever you're playing with, you got to have a Wiimote and a nunchuck. So if you want to play two player, you got to have two nunchucks, and they're real hard to find right now. But again, you know, it's not quite as refined as the our two favorite games, but you can still have some fun.
All right, so I'm gonna beg to differ with you here. Boxing is amazing.
Uh-oh.
Like that, really? I don't have two nunchucks. I don't have two nunchucks, but we were hot seating it last night, passing off the sticks after each bout, but I dare say it's one of the most fun I've had with a fighting game in a long time.
Oh man!
So it's got not one to one movement like baseball, but each remote, like the remote and the nunchuck, is a fist. And it does track how you're swinging it. So you can throw straight, you can throw jabs, hooks, uppercuts, and you can punch him in the and there's no low blows. But the best thing about Wii Sports, I mean, Wii Boxing, is it makes you fight chicks.
Wait, it makes you fight chicks?
Because Justin Fick likes beating women. There's no way around it.
Well, what it does is if you play one player, it picks like a random me for you to battle, and it does make you fight women. So it's gender equality. So it's not that I like beating women. I'm the hero of the feminist movement. I think men and women should be beaten equally. Boxing allows that evolution in human
Fick,
rights.
Justin Fick is an equal opportunity hitting machine. Just like
exactly.
Our Terry Tate.
So essentially, Wii Sports, if they were to it comes with all American consoles. I don't think in Europe, I don't think it's bundled in. And in Japan, I don't think it is. But if you already have Wii Sports, it's a fun game. If it were $50, I don't know if I would say. I mean, it's definitely got a lot of it. It's easy to pick up and play. But in terms of depth, I don't know if it's quite worth $50. But overall, thumbs up, Wii Sports.
Dude, it's worth $50 just from its ability to attract Asian chicks.
And talking about our lag and trying to get an idea for the jank of the week, our lag test word is Golden Axe, and that made me think of the Sega Genesis Collection, which recently came out on the PlayStation 2 and PlayStation Portable. So this is a collection of not one, not two, not three. Actually, I don't know exactly how many there are, but it's near 30 or 40 Sega Genesis classic games.
I love these compilation discs because it sort of like negates all of those hard-earned games that we had to buy in our childhood. Like, I remember trying to save up my allowance for like a year, trying to buy one of them tapes. And now look what comes along.
So this game has got 28 different Sega Genesis games on it, some real classics on there. You can go and live your, you know, glory days from your childhood, your prepubescent childhood days. And it's only $15, $15 or $20, depending on where you shop. So it's got Alex the Kid and the Enchanted Castle, Altered Beast, Bonanza Brothers, Columns, Comics Zone, Decap Attack, Echo the Dolphin, Echo the Tides of Time, Echo Jr., Flicky, Gain Ground, Golden Axe, Golden Axe 2,
Golden
Axe 3, Kid Chameleon, Phantasy Star 2, Phantasy Star 3, Phantasy Star 4, Rice Star, Shadow Dancer, Secret of Shinobi, Shinobi 3, Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Super Thunder Blade, Sword of Vermillion, Vector Man 2, and Virtua Fighter 2. So that's a lot of Genesis power in there. So,
wow.
Check it out. Pretty much, it's fairly recent release. It was a $20 release when it came out. You may be able to find it for $15. Any big box store like Best Buy or even GameStop should have it. So check it out. Sega Genesis Collection. All right, now it's time for feedback. All right, well, first we got voicemail. So our first voicemail comes from a guy named, I think it's Jack in Jersey. He's called us before. You guys remember Jack in Jersey, right?
Yeah.
So he called us and left us another voicemail over the break.
Yo, best damn podcast ever. Jack from Jersey. I called like a month ago or something. Anyhow, thought I'd call you. I watched your little Gears of War video today. Pretty funny. You and Buck, you know, going at it. Yeah, William and Buck, that's who it was. Anyways, it's pretty f***ing funny. I got to get a kick out of it because William sucks at Gears of War. And I just thought I'd call because I'm on the road now. I guess better than you. So, hope you all enjoy your holiday and happy new year, all that good f***ing. Talk to you later. Bye.
Well, at least somebody thought that video was funny.
So there's a story there. Most of our listeners know this one, but Blake Bug was stupid and posted that Gears of War video on the Something Awful forums. What a bad idea. Like, 2 bajillion posts later. So anyway, by the time like we had about 100 image macros of Blake Buck's face, we stopped looking at it. Dude. Anyway, I'm glad somebody enjoyed it. Yes, I do suck at Gears of War, and thanks for calling in. Next.
Well, see, the thing I thought about the Something Awful forum, see, I got a Christmas present over the holidays that reminded me a lot of this situation with our video. Stay with me. So, my mom was visiting some of her family, and she brought me back one of these little, you know how they used to have like the dancing hamsters, right? And you like press their foot and they start dancing and singing a song, right?
Yeah.
Even if you haven't, you've seen something like, so this is a frog that you press its foot and it starts singing and dancing. And so you press its foot and it's wearing like kind of like thug clothes and it starts playing Little John.
Dude, is this crazy frog?
It might have been. And he starts dancing around and it's just ridiculous. And I thought to myself, you know, there's two different levels that's funny. Like, there's the different layers of funny. There's the first level that the dumb people like my mom that just think a singing frog is funny, right? Then you've got the people who don't think the singing frog is funny at all because it's stupid. But then you transcend one more level, and it's so ridiculous that it becomes funny again. And I think that's how the Gears of War video is.
Now, see, what you've just done there, Blake Buck, is insulted the Something Awful forums.
Uh-oh.
Which is bad. Well, I doubt anybody is going to listen to the show anyway, but we're going to get hate mail from that for like a year. You do realize that, right? Because that's like roughly a third of the internet, all of them
vindictive little bastards. Whatever. Look, Gears of War video gold. All right? I fear no Something Awful goons.
Look, I just thought probably not the best way to introduce us to the masses. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Those image macros were kind of below the belt a lot of times.
You know?
The best one when they put your face on Kuwato from Total Recall.
I like the Jabba the Hutt one, too. That was pretty funny. The spice must flow, Blake Buck.
All right, it's time for Stomp.
All right, Blake, I got a stump for you. This is like probably the only stump I've ever had. Well, no, I've had another one on BDPE. Anyway, I don't do stumps very much because I don't play games. But this one I got from my roommate Simon, who plays games all the time.
All right.
My stump this week is called Magic Pockets.
Magic Pockets.
That's right, Magic Pockets.
All right, Justific, we got to come up with something. I think this is what the guy at the arcade told you to reach into. Oh, we're terrible. We went for the same pedophile joke. That's terrible. All right. So, Magic Pockets. It's not a pedophile. All right. So it sounds like Jewel Swap. That's what it sounds like. Magic, and then Pocket is kind of like small Jewel Swap. So it's micro Jewel Swap.
All right. So this game, Magic Pockets, was made by the Bitmap Brothers. All right.
Uh-oh.
Came out for DOS.
It's not
DOS.
The Stamper Brothers, is it?
No, it's Bitmap Brothers. It came out for DOS and Amiga and a couple other things, and it's a side scroller where you're this kid with magic pockets, and they're like a couple levels, five different levels or so, each with different terrain. You can pull a different thing out of your pocket to kill all the enemies, and you throw it. You collect toys and stuff, and it's just a solid side scroller from that era. The Bitmap Brothers did a lot of other really cool stuff, which I will use in subsequent janks, so you might want to memorize them games.
Good. Well, all right, Justin Fick, what's your power laying on me?
All right, my stuff this week is called Lazy Jones.
Lazy Jones?
Ooh. Lazy Jones.
Lazy Jones? Lazy Jones. All right. You've got a lazy. All right, come on, Weemail, you come up with something. I'm always coming up with, come on, Lazy Jones.
All right, so this is like a Leisure Suit Larry knockoff.
Except instead of you going out and getting the girls come to you.
That's it.
Oh, Jones, you're so hot. Yeah, whatever, get over here.
Let me get to my save point, I'll be right there.
Wait. Blake Buck, should we tell about the corn picture? I don't know if we should. Tom, I don't know about this.
I was telling somebody else about the corn pitcher the other day. But you're right, that's Lazy Jones.
No, I just think it's funny that we hunted for that. That was the game. Find the corn pitcher first. Anyway.
There's a picture on the internet of somebody doing something naughty with a girl, and they're eating cream corn and smearing it all over the place. One of those internet pictures that you just see once in a lifetime and you never see it again. And we've been looking for it for a while. So if anybody knows what we're talking about, feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com.
Not on a forum, please.
Dude, it's better than spam bots. All right, so Lazy
right,
Jones.
So what is this power?
Lazy Jones is a game for the Commodore 64 way back in the day. And you're a dude called Jones, and basically the whole game is you playing other games. So basically, the metagame of it sucks. It's just basically there's hallways, you have to run into doors, and you have to dodge the room service cart from hitting you, or you lose a life. But you go in the door, and your dude just sits down in front of a screen, and you play another game, and you just do that over and over and over again. Lazy Jones.
Wow. That sounds dumb.
Dumb. All right.
Look, I got a good jank. Look, that jank sucked. All right, that game's no good. I've got a good game for both of you guys. Are you ready? If either one of you get this game, like, I will at least four times, okay? Whoa. That's how this is an extreme jank. And I just picked this one up off eBay, all right? That's how much of a jank this is. All right, it's called Facelli.
Dude, this is a pasta cooking game. I played this. Dude, it's like Cookie Mama, only it's all Italian food.
And ficarada sauce. No, I have no idea what
and
this
ficarada
game is.
Ficarada sauce.
All right, Facelli is a. You're both wrong. Facelli is a. It's like a mech themed RPG tactical action game on the Neo Geo Pocket Color. Bam, bam. That is a stomp right there.
Wow.
It was never released in America. They had plans to bring it over here, but they were like, we're out of money and we're getting our ass beat by the Game Boy Color. So they never brought it to America, but it came out in Japan and Europe. And so a lot of people have been importing the game for the Neo Geo Pocket Colors. And I think, like, a few years ago, apparently there was a big warehouse that had a bunch of U.S. copies of this game that somehow got leaked. And so you can find it on eBay for the Neo Geo Pocket. It says F-A-S-E-L-E-I. So it's supposed to be one of the best RPGs on the Neo Geo Pocket Color. So I actually picked it up on eBay last. I picked it up last week, so I'll let you guys know how it is. But yeah, that's how you do a jank, son. Okay, take notes. Uh-huh. Unreleased Neo Geo Pocket Color game from the mid '90s. Blam.
It's pretty good.
All right, well, that's us for this week of the Best Damn Podcast Ever. What do you guys think about that?
Pretty good, Blake Buck.
Pretty good.
If you'd like to send us any feedback, it's feedback at bestdamnpodcastever.com, or you can call our listener line at 845-BATTLE-9. We'd like to thank Tom Barbalay, who is doing our editing on the show. Hopefully, that is, unless I had to edit this show, and in case you're not hearing this. So, thanks, Tom. We'd also like to thank, we got some new people helping around the site. And if any of you guys would like to help around the site, we're looking for writers to write content for the site. We'd love to have an article on the site every day. But, of course, we're way too lazy, and Blake Buck just has to do all the legwork. Looking at you, William Miller, Jessica Vick. We also need promoters to go out and talk about our show on forums or your blog or anywhere you can. Just spray paint our URL on trains, whatever you can do. Get out to promote the show. If you'd like to get in contact to be a writer or promoter or anything, just send us an email at feedback@bestdamnpodcastever.com. Also, guys, if you want to send us some PayPal donations, we had a guy the other day who was like, oh, I really want to send you guys PayPal donation. I was like, awesome. And I set up the PayPal account. It's donate@bestdamnpodcastever.com. And then that guy never sent us any money. Thanks a lot.
He still might. Don't say that, Blake Buck.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're not yet. Send us money, please. So it's donate@bestdamnpodcastever.com. All right. So from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
And I'm Justin Fick.
And we'll see you next time.